Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on a Thursday, beautiful Thursday morning, May the 12th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 56 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion. Hope everybody's having a great morning out there this morning. And I'm going to continue to talk about this because it is apparently the worst allergy week in the history of allergies. Now, I know that's not true, but we're in media, and you know, in media, we like to blow things up, but this week has been bad. I have not ever known a week where the weather changed so drastically in such a short period of time that it's caused so many problems for so many people. Swollen eyes, drippy nose, watery eyes, terrible migraine headaches. People can't breathe because of asthma. It's horrible out there. And it's going to be that way through Saturday. Saturday is the first day it's supposed to come down a little bit. Not a whole lot, but it's not supposed to be in the red zone anymore as of Saturday. It's been in the red zone, really, since last Sunday. So we've had a stretch here. So if you're having migraine headaches, if you're feeling like garbage, there's a reason. We're in the middle of an awful, awful allergy stretch. Now, I want to start off the program and say this quickly this morning, that we had some technical difficulties yesterday, apparently during my interview with Pastor Littleton, and he was updating us on the Ukraine incident. I don't know what happened, because apparently during the Jim Renacci interview, everything sounded okay. So I don't know what happened during the Pastor Littleton interview. It's the first time we've had any technical difficulties since I've been using this remote equipment as far as being on the air. Now, there have been times where I couldn't get on the air, but we never had something like that where we were connected and the interview was taking place and for some reason it was not transferring correctly. I imagine it probably had something to do with the phone company because we had some issue with the tower a few weeks ago, and the bandwidth, computer talk, the bandwidth actually slowing down for a period of about 12 hours, which makes everything run slower, which could have happened yesterday morning. I really don't know. But it was only for 1 hour, because I think everybody heard the Renacci interview, and I was on with Glenn for 2 hours yesterday, and that all seemed to be fine, and it was the same connection, so I'm sorry that that happened, but if I start to go out here this morning, for whatever reason, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right, we're having some calls. Let's hope this is a good sign. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, we're talking about technical difficulties. I don't want to be critical of anybody, but why did it sound like someone was playing the xylophone in the background during the obituary?
Oh, somebody was, well, you know, that was St. Peter playing the harp as people have departed.
I was listening to that, and I was like, what is going on here?
Well, don't you like a little bit of music as people are departing? Did you hear somebody was 101 years old? I heard that a bit this morning.
Wow, that's awesome.
That was probably on my end. I do a sound check before I go on in the morning to make sure I'm connected. And it was probably me hitting a button here while the line of communication was open between me and the station.
Oh, you button hitters.
Now, I feel awful that nobody heard this dramatic story yesterday of Pastor Littleton connecting with his 27-year-old daughter who's still in the Ukraine under Russian control. I mean, it was a very dramatic story, and nobody heard it.
Terrible.
I know.
I really, really, really either, so I don't even think I tuned in.
Did you hear, didn't even hear Renacci? Renacci was interesting yesterday. I hope somebody has something to say about that, because I was kind of shocked about that interview with Jim Renacci yesterday.
Can you remind everybody about the Andrea's on Beaufort Avenue today?
Oh, let me get a pen here. If I don't get it, write it down, I'll forget to say it again. Okay, food pantry on Bell Fountain today, and what time?
Between 3 and 5.
3 and 5, and where is it on Bell Fountain?
It's the Breaking Bread Food Pantry, and I believe it's 636 Bell Fountain Avenue. The address. It's right, it's a big brick building right next to the Colonial Court Laundromat on Bell Fountain.
Oh, so it's right next to the laundromat.
Right, directly.
Now, do you know what a lot of people have been asking me about these food pantries? Do they do they ask for any paperwork?
Usually, you just have to show your ID.
And do they have meat?
I went to the I got off work early enough. I was able to shoot through because it's just a drive-through food pantry. And I went there on South Avenue last week. They gave me a rack of ribs.
Well, now I know you're at work right now, but what do they give you in a box when you go through, typically?
It just depends on what they're given. Like, different stores give them different things, so they never get the same thing twice.
It's not
but
like
it's
that.
It's a very big box. Everything is already, like, in a box, and they just put the box of food in your trunk, and your trunk is back seat, and you drive off, and you never know what will be in the box.
Now, is it good stuff? It's not like that Velveeta cheese block, is it?
The government cheese.
Yeah. Boy.
I'll tell you what. If you're hungry, if you're truly hungry, and you have got no money for groceries or something, or you need help, we'll go help you figure out a way to use that government cheese.
I think I'd choose to go see St. Peter.
Well, I say never
listen to
first in the
mouth. I'm kidding. It's just I have seen people who've went to food pantries, and you open up their cupboards like elderly people, and you see like 4 or 5 chunks, boxes of this Velveeta cheese up there. They can find no use for this stuff.
The only place that I know of in town that gives that government cheese away is senior center with their monthly cheese box, which my mom gives.
What are you supposed to do
she
with
it? I don't do it.
I know. They're always trying to. Maybe it's the senior center that I see this with. They're always trying to unload it on you. And I say, well, I don't know what you use it for.
I know you're talking about the fruitcake. You really could rob it.
you got to stay tuned this morning because I got a card the other day. That has to do with fruitcakes. So stay with us this morning.
I don't know. Are you and you are the same age? Do you remember that, like when you were little kid, how they
put
it on your porch?
Yeah, they put it on your porch.
And they'd always have you a nice big block of the government cheese. That was one of my fondest memories. Government cheese on the porch.
You know what? I don't remember the government cheese, but I do remember that they used to deliver, which I don't think they do anymore. And you know what I remember in those boxes? Cream of wheat, which is kind of expensive, the red box of cream of wheat. And I also remember the black carton with the orange of orange juice. And I don't see that in the store anymore.
I remember that too, yeah. Because you always wanted to be home. I know Mama was going to make sure she was home so she could get the lip. Now I think you go to the office and you get a coupon to you to go to the food your leisure.
Delivery was nice. Well, hope you had your OJ this morning. Bye-bye. All right. Again, if we have any technical difficulties, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. And again, if you ever have an announcement like that, give it to us. Food pantry on Bell Fountain Avenue today, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Breaking Bread Food Pantry. 636 Bell Fountain Avenue is what we believe the address to be. It's right next to the Colonial Coin Laundromat on Bell Fountain Avenue. Now, is it laundry or laundra? Now, there's one. We like to do linguistics here on the show. But with the technical difficulties yesterday, you don't know how depressed I was that you did not get to hear Pastor Littleton yesterday. The story of he and his daughter, Nastia, 27 years old, they have found her in the Ukraine after not talking to her for something like 42 days. And she's still in Ukraine, but they're trying to get her here. She's under Russian surveillance now. I don't even know what the right word is. Is it surveillance? Is it watch? She's no longer... The Russians have taken over her area. So she's being watched by them right now to be released to the United States. And that's where the situation is. But the stories of what she went through in that 42 days, this 27-year-old girl in Ukraine, having to kick abandoned houses, doors open to get food, eating an egg a day, seeing people killed, a mother killed of a child. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable story. And of course, due to technical difficulties, apparently we've lost it. So, if we ever have technical difficulties like that, please do call me here, 740-751-4038, so we can either correct the problem or do something. Try to do something. Like I say, allergies are still bad here. We've gotten through the technical difficulties spiel this morning. There's so much I've wanted to do this week that I have not really had a chance to do. I feel like I've been moving in slow motion. I do want to let people know I had a horrible couple nights sleep. I tried the air conditioning one night, dried me out. Yesterday was an awful morning. I felt dried out all morning. I couldn't get enough to drink. It was awful yesterday morning. But now I have, last night I did something that kind of changed it up. I'll come to this in a second. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, Pastor Craig.
Hey, haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
I've been very good. I've been very busy, but I've been very good.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. What's new?
Well, I had a comment on your interview with Jim Renacci yesterday.
Oh, wasn't that fascinating?
Yes, it was very fascinating. And a comment I wanted to make is made a point that J.D. Vance won the Senate primary with only 32% of the vote. And I've heard several other people make that comment that, you know, won with only 32%. The thing you have to keep in mind is there were six candidates running in that primary for that race. So the likelihood of anybody getting much bigger percentage of the vote was very small.
And he won by 10%.
Right. And the other thing is, three of those candidates, basically J.D. Vance, Josh Mandel, and Gibbons, are all very appealing to the Republicans in the party, the conservative Republicans in the party. I mean, I myself did not know who I was going to vote for until about a day or two before. And I think that's why I saw him win by 10% is because when he got the Trump endorsement, all those Republicans that were kind of back and forth and, well, I could vote for Gibbons, I could vote for Mandel, that sort of helps them make their decision.
You know,
and I really, yeah.
Well, no, you know what's fascinating, and I just want to touch on this while you were saying it. It is fascinating to me, and I hope people understand who don't follow polls, that before President Trump came to Delaware, which I believe was 10 days before the election, Mandel was leading the polls. Gibbons was usually in second place. J.D. Vance was not out of third place. And then when they re-polled after President Trump endorsed Vance, they polled J.D. Vance as the favorite. And not only was he the favorite, he beat Mandel by 10%. So people who don't think President Trump's endorsement matters, I think he may be the last endorsement that matters, at least in Ohio.
Right, right. But I don't again, you know, like myself, I mean, I could have voted for three people in that race. I could have voted for any one of them. So I don't see that really being a problem come November from the standpoint that people are saying, my candidate didn't make it. I don't really want to vote for this guy. I really feel that, by and large, probably 50-60% of Republicans are okay with that choice, and they would have been okay with Mandel, or they'd be okay with Gibbons.
Well, see, this brings up the other two questions. The two things I took away from that Renacci interview, and the two things that, and I've heard a lot of feedback yesterday, so I know people heard that interview about it. Now, number one, and I want to get your thought on this, is the this idea that Democrats bombarded the Republican primary to get the candidates that they wanted, that they want to run against J.D. Vance, they want to run against Mike DeWine, so that's why so many people, a million people turned out in the Republican primary. I looked at every model, which I assume did not include Democrats, polls before that election. It was about what it turned out to be. Do you think Democrats showed up and voted in the Republican primary to swing this to Mike DeWine and J.D. Vance?
No, I really don't. I really, there may have been a few, but I don't think, you know, they're talking about, you know, 200,000, 300,000 Democrats that showed up to vote in the Republican. No, I don't see that happening. I really don't. I think that the numbers of voters were larger than previous elections, for the very reason I think people are more interested and more motivated to act on in this election.
Well, truthfully, the two big statewide Democratic races, governor and Senate, Tim Ryan had pretty well walked away with that Senate race. And the Nan Whaley, obviously, she clearly had the name recognition and had walked away with hers. The Republicans had a reason to turn out in the primary. You had a governor who was being primaried for the first time in 130 years, sitting governor, and you had this very contentious Senate race that was getting more attention than any other race in Ohio. So why wouldn't more people turn up for a primary, for even here in town? What did the Democrats locally have to turn out for here in Marion? Nothing. But they did in the Republican primary for county commissioner.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it goes back to, I think the Republicans were motivated. They had reasons to vote. I mean, you always have a reason to vote. But this election, there were special reasons to vote, I guess I could say.
Now, the other question is, and I think it was the bigger question, how about taking the Renacci interview that I did with him, I think 2 weeks ago, taking the interview I did yesterday and his thoughts on Mike DeWine all of a sudden?
Well,
apparently he called him. That was the shocking moment. I understand he called to concede, but to call and say, if there's anything I can do. Now, this was a man who on the show 2 weeks ago said, I will never endorse him. I will never vote for him. And then to say he never attacked him personally, yesterday went on that spiel about, pay to play is wrong, but it's not illegal.
I was bothered by several of those things. I mean, you put your finger right on them. He did a real change in his attitude toward Mike DeWine. Now, I can understand, okay, when the election comes in November, you know, if you're Jim Renacci, you absolutely don't want the Democrats to win.
All right.
You're going to support the Republican candidate, even if you don't like the guy and don't want the guy in there. But to come out and say that he called and said, hey, whatever I can do, I was surprised. And, yeah, I was really surprised about that whole conversation about pay to play.
You know, and he's got a real, and it's just my thought after hearing it, he's got a real spur under his saddle about Blystone.
Yeah, he does.
And I'll tell you what, Blystone got 22% of the vote, won 22 counties. Now, they are rural counties. He was right about that. But if Renacci can throw his support behind DeWine all he wants, if they don't recover that 22% Blystone vote in those 22 rural counties, I don't see how Mike DeWine wins, and I don't see any olive branch being thrown out there.
No, I don't. No, it's not. I don't see that either. No, I was. I don't know. There's obviously more to it than what we know. Because you know, okay, he can feel that he lost the primary solely because Blystone ran. But hey, you know, that's politics. And look at the Senate race. There were six people running. So, you know, and everybody who wants to run deserves a chance to run.
But, you know, the final result of that was, and this could have been on the Democratic side too, it just wasn't. What people said to me yesterday was, that's why we don't like politics. A guy comes in and for over a year tells you how bad the governor is, how bad he handled COVID, how he's destroyed the economy, how I'll never vote for him, I'll never endorse him, how he's a crooked politician, and then 8 days after the election, anything you need, I'm there for you. And it was the epitome to people who I talked to yesterday of why they don't like politics.
Right. Right. No, exactly. You know, one other thing about Jim Renacci that kind of bothers me is, you know, he said earlier in this year, he said earlier that when the government took over the cars, when they bailed out the car industry, that's why he lost his dealership. So, you know, that's why he wanted to get involved in politics, because he, you know, he's a super against that kind of stuff. But yet, he said, you know, yesterday, well, pay to play is bad, but it's not illegal. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be kind of consistent there.
Well, I'll tell you, and finally in this thing, his thoughts on President Trump were kind of interesting to me, that he did feel, had he got the endorsement, that he might have won, which really didn't add up to me, because he spent the whole first part of the interview saying that Democrats had bombarded and given Mike DeWine the win. And I kept thinking, well, if Democrats did that, then how would President Trump's endorsement have offset that? And then by the time we got to the end of the interview, he was saying, I don't know, you know, President Trump has got to get elected in Ohio, and, you know, he was looking at our election as he didn't want to endorse somebody who wasn't going to win. Well, if President Trump thought you weren't going to win, then where's the disconnect here?
Right, right. And see, I honestly believe, you know, he said he never asked for the endorsement, but he talked to him several times. I honestly believe that Trump did not make an endorsement in that race solely because he didn't feel comfortable endorsing either Renacci or Blystone. It's not a matter of, you know, he didn't want to endorse somebody who wasn't going to win. I think it was more that he didn't want to endorse somebody he wasn't comfortable with.
Well, that's what confuses me, because J.D. Vance was certainly not leading in the Senate race. He was in third place when Trump came to Delaware. But I can't... And when I said, well, do you think he's going to endorse DeWine? Renacci, of course, you know, gave the flip answer of, well, you're going to have to ask him. Well, you know, yeah, well, that's fine, but you're the guy talking to him often. Right. I'm not. Do you get the impression that he's going to do it? Now, and then basically said that the president's playing politics at this point. I thought when he called President Trump a politician, I thought that was very telling as well, because Renacci was one of the first guys in 2016 who came out for Trump in Ohio. And now at this point to be saying, well, you know, he's playing politics, I thought, that's, I don't know.
That's what you do in this game. I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, that's what you do. You play politics. You know.
Right, but I mean,
I didn't quite understand him.
I want to be clear. I never thought he was going to come on and say I'm going to vote for Nan Whaley, but that he had jumped so far back in 8 days on the Mike DeWine bandwagon, which he's free to do. I mean, it's a free country, but to the degree that he did it, that was kind of shocking. And I do thank him for doing the interview because it was the first interview he had done since the election. But I was just very, I was sitting here during the interview thinking, I'm so glad he's being this candid, so I appreciate that. But is this the same guy I talked to 2 weeks ago?
Right, right. It didn't seem like it.
No, something had changed. Well, how did the show go? I didn't get a chance to hear it last night. That's a Jim Renacci answer right there.
Let's put it this way. It went as best as possible. We'll have to have a conversation offline or off air about it. But in a nutshell, we had, you know, Nate had told me a month ago that he had to leave early yesterday so that he wouldn't be on the show. It would just be Terry and I. And so at the late, literally at 5 o'clock at the last minute, Terry kind of had something and bailed out on us. So there I was, standing alone, holding the bat.
Oh, so Terry just left?
Yeah.
What's
that?
I said, that's very odd. Because I had just, you know, we're honest with the audience here. I had just seen Terry the day before and had a conversation with him, and he knew that Nate was not going to be there. So I wonder what in the world would have happened.
Well, actually, he did physically leave, but he just didn't want to go out. And so, there's details to that that are, you know, kind of internal participation and everything. But so, we made the best of it as best as we could and put on a happy face.
Yeah, and Nate will be back next week, and hopefully something like that won't happen again.
It should be all back to normal.
All right, and 9 a.m. is when your show airs on a Sunday morning now, and I've actually caught it. Maybe just the timing's better for me, more on Sunday morning. Oh, by the way, I got a call. I don't know if they emailed you, but you did a show. Oh, boy, it just popped out of my head. A few weeks ago on, was it Angels?
Yes.
Yes. And somebody wanted a physical copy of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so if we can get one made in the next couple weeks, I guess we could do it with the, it's probably on the website, isn't it?
Yes. I have that on CD. That whole, what I did on the radio, you know, the teaching on Angels, I have that on CD.
Oh, perfect,
so they
perfect.
Can have it, they can, yeah, and I've got that ready to go.
Yeah, if you want to leave that at the studio when you're there on Sunday with just a listener name on it, I'll pick that up next week when I come and get the mail, and we'll get it to that person. They really enjoyed that.
Oh, sounds great. That's great. Yep, I'll get it to the studio.
Hey, thanks, Pastor.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Study His Word every Sunday morning, 9:10 until 10 a.m., and then he's on with Nate Redmond and Terry Tackett on Wednesday, 5:10 until 6 p.m. I heard this show on Angels a few weeks ago was very good. I'm sorry I missed that one. I'll have to go back and listen to it in the replays, but we'll get that copy to our listener. 42 minutes past the hour here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on the Renacci thing yesterday, other than what we've covered here so far? You know, and honestly, I don't care Republican or Democrat. As I said, I voted issue only in the primary. But I guess I was just shocked interviewing Renacci two other times during this primary to hear what he had to say yesterday. So, take it for what it is. And again, I'm not saying I ever expected him to say he was going to vote for Nan Whaley, but to say he said to DeWine in a phone call, anything you need, that's a little different. Okay. Again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Oh, by the way, I was passing by Tri Rivers this morning, went to get a soda, and they're building something out in front of Tri Rivers. I couldn't really see because the sun was shining bright and it was further down than I was, but does anybody know what's going on out in front of Tri Rivers? Oh, and I also wanted to tell you, I slept so much better last night. I just left the air conditioning off and I left the heat off. And for some reason, I slept better. And I've started to drink warm tea. Now, and you're going to hear me cough. I don't have a cough button, unfortunately, where I am. But this warm tea, for some reason, is helping me overall. It's helping with, I don't have big allergies, but it seems to be the thing that's helping me the most. And I don't know why that is. Has anybody found that with warm tea? Now, I know that ginger in warm tea is supposed to be the cure-all for everything. Ginger is like vinegar to clean with. You know, you put vinegar in anything and you can clean anything. Ginger is kind of that way for your health because it works, I guess, as an anti-inflammatory and also an anti-nausea. What would you call that? A natural substance? So, herbal substance. So I've been doing this, and it's working really well. So let's hope it continues to work well. So I got a little cup here of warm tea in front of me. And also I hear putting honey in tea helps. I haven't done that. I've got honey here. I've got honey and I've got ginger. How do you do your tea for the best possible outcome? Does anybody have any thoughts on ginger tea, honey tea, in this allergy season that we're on? Has anybody done what I did last night and just left the heat off and the air conditioning off? You know, when I went to bed, it was like 78 degrees in my house. When I woke up this morning, it was like 73. So, you know, I can sleep in that. That's a little warm, but I can sleep in that. And I slept better. So I don't know if it's the systems that are running, circulating all of these allergies that are going on. I really don't know. But it was much better last night. So let's hope it stays that way. 740-751-4038. Does anybody know what they're building out in front of Dry Rivers? Anybody been out that way recently? Okay, what else do we have here? Well, gas prices continue to climb as we head toward Memorial Day. Now, we've been told this was going to happen, and of course, here we are, 3 weeks out from Memorial Day. We're going to get these nice high gas prices. Has anybody seen any low gas prices anywhere here in town? You know, it's tough because people want to travel on Memorial Day. And apparently that's going to be a little difficult this year. So what do you think of the gas prices? People who want to go fishing, people who want to take a trip to grandma's house, people who want to go to the beach for Memorial Day. Are the gas prices even impacting your life? You know, we talked about the other day. Do people really care about the gas prices? Does it really stop people? I mean, we complain about it. We say, well, the gas prices are high. But do we really care? People are still driving their big trucks and their big SUVs and
so on and so forth. Go ahead, caller.
God, it's $4.35 the gas prices are.
Yeah, I know. It's on the rise. Now, where'd you see $4.35 at?
BP, and then I just left getting the oil change in my truck, and I'm over here by Woody's place at Shell. It's $4.35,
and I think it's only going to get worse as we approach Memorial Day.
And, you know, that's why people's getting out with these electric scooters. well, I got a couple of them, but electric mini bikes and all these little dirt bikes and everything you see riding around, they're going to that now.
Yeah, but you know what? When I go to McDonald's, when I get out here on 95 every morning, people still have their big extended cab pickup trucks. People still have their SUVs. Does it really stop anybody from doing anything? I mean, I know we complain about the gas prices, but does it stop you from going to the beach or going to the restaurant? I don't notice that it's stopping anybody.
No, I mean, I even question that about my where I work at. And I'm like, man, I said, with the gas prices, I said, it don't stop them from going in there.
No, I mean, I think it's a thing we complain about. We don't want them to be this high. But, you know, if it were me, and I've said this before, why does everybody drive a pickup truck? Nothing wrong with it. If you like a pickup truck, that's fine. But it's not like people are hauling stuff all over the place. And there are so many pickup trucks out there. Is that just, and I don't want to call it a man thing because then the women will get mad at me. But is that just, is it just a man's got to own a big truck?
Well, a woman, I saw a woman driving one the other day, Scott.
Well, see, that's what I mean. I mean, do we just all need to own big trucks?
Well, I think pickup trucks are starting to come back in style now because you can, it's easier to haul something, you know, and if you look at them, they look really sharp.
Yeah, they do look good, but I'm just saying the gas mileage cannot be good in those cars as maybe you would get in a Prius or a Honda. Or any small car, a Toyota, if you were really worried about the gas prices and doing a lot of driving, why would you get this mammoth extended cab, beautiful pickup truck?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Ford Explorer, but you know, it's like my family vehicle.
Now, how much does it cost to fill that up?
It took like. The other day, it took $70, I swear to God.
Now, how long can you go on $70 on a full tank?
With this? About 4 or 5 days.
Not even a week?
Before I have to fill it back. But I got a lot of running to do. I got Special Olympics. I've got kids that play out there. Plus, I got to go to work. Plus, you know, I mow yards in the summer, so.
Oh, you mow yards? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking for somebody to mow my yard. But, see, here was the problem I had, because I'm cheap, apparently. My yard is the tiniest yard in the world. It really is. I almost have no yard. I have no fence in my yard, so it's not hard to mow around. And people were giving me quotes that were just outrageous. And I thought, how can you charge me this amount of money for mowing this little plot of land? And I only want them to come out twice a month because my grass doesn't grow all that quickly because there's not much to grow.
What, they were charging you 50, 60 bucks a mow?
Oh, well, not quite that high, but 35, between 35 and, 35 and 50, I would say.
Well, you know what, you know where Fountain Place Trailer Park is, right?
Right.
Well, Amanda has her aunt that lives out there, and I go out there with my rider and, you know, a little bit of my push mower and to get the sides or whatever that I can't get with my rider, and I only charge her, what is it, $20? Because I'm only there for about, probably about 20 minutes. So,
well, here's the mowing my yard, if you were on a riding lawn mower, because there is no fence, it's not hard to navigate. If it took you, 5 to 7 minutes, it would be shocking. That's how little yard there is. So, I mean, it's just tiny. I got the little plot in front of my house that makes up my front yard that just has one tree in it, and it, the front yard is very small, maybe, I'm going to say, the length of my front yard is probably, 15 feet, 20 feet, and my backyard is probably about the same, from the back of the house to where my yard ends, about 20 feet, and there's no fence. The side of the house is basically just one swipe, because I've got houses on each side of me. And I'm thinking, man, I could pay some kid $10. It would take them 10 minutes. Even with a push mower, I'd be surprised it would take longer than 10 minutes. They'd make an extra $20 a month, and everything's fine. But apparently kids don't mow yards anymore.
No, they don't. And when they do, they come out and they do a half job about it. You know, they complain. And
so I got somebody over here who ended up doing it the other day. I mean, I'm not sure I'm going to stay with that person, although they did do a good job. And again, when they came and actually saw how big the yard was, it took them about 10 minutes.
And you know, when, I mean, I run into this problem. I don't know if anyone else does, or if anyone listens to the mows yard, but you know, that puts up with crap that I do. But I'll go to someone's house, like I went last night, and I'm not going to say the name or the street or anything, because I'm not going to put them on here, you know. But I went to the yard, and they had bricks laying in the yard that I didn't have know of, and it's the first time to first mowing of the season that they had with all the, you know, and they just get a hold of me, you know, and there's been so many nice days that they could have called me, and they don't clean their yard up. I'm having to clean up bricks, you know, and one, my buddy ran over one of those cement things in the yard, and I thought, man, how he ran it over, I thought he broke the blade.
Yeah.
And then we go out, I got another customer, one of my best friends. I go out to his house, and in the backyard, I'm with my rider, and I'm riding over stuff like their kids' toys, because they're not growing, and they wait until the grass gets so high, and I don't even see their kids' toy, and I'm running it over, destroying their kids' toys, but yet, hey, you're not picking this stuff up, but, like, if you want your yard mowed, you pick this stuff up, or it's going to get mowed over, or...
Well, yeah, and that's the lucky... That's another thing. I don't have a fence. I don't have any kids that are leaving toys in the yard, and I very rarely go out... I don't know why I'd be dropping bricks in the yard. There's nothing in my yard besides a tree out front and a tree out back, and they're small trees that would even get in anybody's way. So it's, and even all my patio furniture is not in the yard. It's all sitting on the patio, so that's not even an issue. So I just, it's very simple. It's very easy. People don't have to move anything. But the prices that people were wanting to charge, and I understand the gas prices are high. I understand that. But we're talking about a 10-minute job here. And and also... boy, there was something else I wanted to say there when you were talking about that. Oh, once I'm off, you know, able to go out and do it myself, what I want is one of those mowers that has no motor on it. You know, those old mowers that just chop the grass? Because the yard is so small, I think that would be sufficient.
The old-time mowers.
Yeah, my yard could be handled by that. Because it's so small, I don't need a big, heavy-powered mower to take care of my yard. So I want one of those old, just go out there. I would do that. Go out there and push the thing and, you know, just make sure the grass is not high. I mean, my yard's just not big enough for that. So, well, we'll hope everything gets – stay with us this morning. If you got anything else to say, call back next hour.
All right, if you want to hear your yard mowed, all you – gotta do is get a hold of me, Scott.
Oh, okay. Well, are you still on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm still friends with you.
Well, I'll give you a buzz if this new guy doesn't work out.
All righty.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Bye bye.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now that's nice and friendly. Somebody was trying to call in there. If that was you, if the line just rings busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 61 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion. Now, see, that's nice here. See, that's the Marion that I like. Hey, you need your grass mowed? I'll be right there. We're good about that in Marion. We really are. Does anybody know is it a sign out in front of Tri-Rivers? Are they building a new sign? It could be that. I really don't know. 58 minutes past the hour here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, if you can get one of those reel mowers, the best thing to do is to mow it fairly often.
Oh, those little...
Let it grow 3-4 inches on you.
Well, yeah, and mine was not tall. You know what mine was? The dandelions. And what are those things when the wind blows that the top blows off? What's those things?
The ones that turn white?
Yeah.
I think that's a dandelion.
Is that a dandelion, too?
After it dries out.
Yeah, I had some of those that were tall in the yard. But other than that, and a few pieces of crabgrass, that was really the problem. But the guy did a nice job, but I think I'm going to take it into my own hands in July when I'm able to get out there again. But I don't need a big, high-powered mower for this yard.
Yeah, a real mower, great for that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just don't, you know, that's a thing, even when you mow it with a power mower, is don't let it, if you want the grass looking fine, don't let it grow real tall every time you mow.
Hey, I tell you what, we got a hard break coming up. Stay with us and call back in next hour because there's lots to talk about. I liked our conversation yesterday that we got cut off, so stay with us.
Okay.
All right, we're going to have calls next hour, but we got a hard break coming up. Listen to Business is what's called a hard break. It's coming up in 5 seconds. I'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare switch the dial.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.
You've had so many interesting people on here. I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal, and I know you don't do much media anymore, but you're always so kind to me, and I want to take the